Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned, because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about information, motivation, education, but no useless speculation and no supernatural revelation. Nothing like that. It's just a show about the Bible, a show about the Word of God, the truth that is found in the Word of God, and certainly a truth that, if believed and applied, can give you tremendous happiness in your life. All I can help you do is verify and identify God's plan for your life, and if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, then you have the freedom and the privacy to do so. But there's no artificial intelligence here, no arrogance and ignorance. You combine them together, AI, artificial intelligence. No, only divine viewpoint. And divine viewpoint comes straight out of the Word of God. Short biblical concepts that are found, principles found in the Bible, that will assist you in living your life every day in spite of the adversity that you may face, even if it is self-induced most of the time, and in spite of the difficulties that you may encounter. It is possible to have a tremendous life in Jesus Christ. And that means that you're not ever going to have any adversity. I just mean that in spite of the adversity, you never have to have stress. There is a way to live your life free of stress. And a lot of people spend a lot of money trying to get rid of stress, and my simple solution is just don't have it to start with. Can you live a life with no stress? Yes. How do you do that? By utilizing God's problem-solving devices. Can you live a life with no adversity? No, that's impossible. But even though the adversity is inevitable, the stress is optional, so it's up to you. You have the choice, you have the opportunity to take God's Word, learn it, and use it if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. It is the most powerful weapon that you have. As you take the filling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, two grace advantages that God has given to you, then you have the ability to live in the devil's world and actually have a good laugh while you're here, to have some tremendous joy, and to have great inner peace, knowing that even though you're in the arena of contention as you're passing through this earth stage of your life, that there's a greater joy and a greater happiness that awaits you in eternity. And so the Flatline is all about teaching the Word of God and learning the tremendous problem-solving devices that are found in the Bible so that as you apply them into your life, you can have tremendous peace in the middle of a great storm. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people that they don't even like. And just the plain truth, I heard someone say one time that a lot of our activities are nothing but a narcotic to deaden the pain of an empty life. You think that might be true? I think so. I think people are looking for something in their life that gives them meaning and direction and purpose. And I think that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will listen to me, if you will pay attention to what I say, then I will verify and identify God's plan for you and in your life so that you can have that great happiness that we've been talking about. I want to talk to you today about a term that I often hear people bring up. And it's a term that always interests me because it's a term called spirituality. Have you ever heard someone say, that's really a spiritual person? I have. I've heard that often. And I've been around people that even look spiritual and talk spiritually. Have you been around people like that? For example, I can remember a friend of mine who had a British accent. And so when he talked a bit like this. And when he prayed, he would pray to the Master. And I used to listen to that guy and I would think, gee, what a spiritual man he must be. Listen to how he sounds and listen to how he talks. And then I can remember being around people that impressed me with the way that they dressed. They were not very spectacular people. Matter of fact, they talked about how they had sold nearly everything that they had and given it all to the poor, and that they just really had one or two pair of pants and a couple of shirts, and they drove a little small car because they didn't want to waste God's money, and they just went around doing good things for God. And I thought, wow, what spiritual people this must be to have an attitude like that and live a life like that, almost as if they were some monk or something and doing without everything because they could do greater things for God without having certain things in their life. And you get these weird ideas about what is a spiritual person by the way they look or the way they talk or the way they walk or how they live. Are they an ascetic? Do they live an extreme life of self-denial? And I want to talk to you today about what is true spirituality. What does it mean when someone tells you that's a spiritual person, or she's a spiritual lady, or he's a spiritual man? You know, you see some of these great speakers that have television shows and radio shows, and they sell their records, and you can attend their simulcast broadcast. And if you pay $30, you can go and learn how to be a spiritual person. And you can look at their spirituality, and you can say, wow, look at that person. I want to be like that person. I've been to those, and they're a complete waste of time. Because most of the time, you really don't get the truth. You really don't get any accurate information. What you get is a cellophane where they try to sell you their book, try to sell you this, sell you that, sing for a few hours, and then get a little message and then send you on your way. Well, what does the Bible really talk about when it's talking about spirituality? That's the question I want to answer. And that was the question I wanted to know after I became a Christian. Is what does it take for me to be a spiritual man? I want to be a spiritual person. I want to be a person that God says, well done. I'm proud of you. You're doing it right. And that was the question I wanted to answer. I want to start off with 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. And here's what the Bible says. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and yet he himself is judged by no man. Now, did you get it? Let me read through it and kind of give you a modified, expanded translation of it. The natural man, that's the person who's not a believer in Jesus Christ, receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are absurd unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are discerned only by the Spirit. But he that is spiritual, and there's the Greek word that we want to center in on right there. The Greek word is pronounced pneumatikos, or pneumatikos. And it's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S, pneumatikos. What is a man like this, or a woman like this? He that is spiritual judgeth, that means that they make a judgment, and that doesn't mean to judge as sin, it just means to discern. He that is spiritual discerns or makes a judgment in all things, and yet he himself or she herself is judged by no man. So what does that mean? Here's another verse in Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual. Now this is where this one gets dangerous. This one's where you'll get a group of people from the church to come a calling on you. If you've never had this happen, you've never lived yet, because they've taken a look at your life and they've decided that you're doing something wrong. You've been a smoking them old bad cigarettes, or you've been a drinking that old nasty beer. And so they're going to come a calling on you, and they're going to tell you that you're not living the right way. And this is a total misunderstanding of this verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, here's the question, what is a spiritual person? Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, actually humility, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted. Considering yourself is a good reminder of Matthew 7, where it says, before you attempt to take the speck out of your brother's eye, make sure there's not a log sticking out of your own eye. And so here are two verses that refer to the spiritual person. One saying that a person who is spiritual should go restore the person who's overtaken in a fault. And the other thing saying that the spiritually mature person can understand, judge, or discern all things. And so what exactly does it mean to be a spiritually mature person? Well, let's start off with this. You can never be a spiritually mature person without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. After I got saved, after I became a Christian, and that happened in 1967, it was a wonderful day in my life. It was the greatest decision that I ever made to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But after I became a Christian, I met a lot of what I thought were spiritual giants. I mean, they sounded spiritual, and they looked spiritual, and they acted spiritual. But the bottom line was they really were not very spiritual, because their spirituality was based on a system of legalism, or a system of works, or a system of production. So if you did not measure up, then you weren't very spiritual. So if you didn't pray as much as they prayed, if you didn't witness as much as they witnessed, if you didn't give as much as they give, then you weren't considered to be a very spiritual person. So what is it that really makes a person spiritual? And do some people achieve it to a greater degree than others? I mean, can Tom be more spiritual than Paul? Is that possible? Can your preacher be more spiritual than you? That's a good question. Is your preacher more spiritual than you? And you say, well, yeah, he should be. I mean, that's what we pay him for. Wrong. Dead wrong. Dead wrong. Is your spirit, your pastor, is he able to be more spiritual than you? And the answer is no. He may be more mature than you, but not more spiritual than you. Spirituality, is it a stimulating emotional feeling? Is it when you really get close feeling to God? Is it like going to a worship service and you sing for like 45 minutes and you break out in a sweat and you're waving your hands in the air and then you start jumping up on down the floor and you get emotionally high and you're praising God and you go out of there saying, I've been with God today. God was here today. Is that what being spiritual is? Well, let me give you some principles. One, the word spirituality or pneumatikos. Spirituality is available to any believer, just like salvation is available to any unbeliever. Any person that's not a Christian is able to be saved, and any person who is a Christian is able to be spiritual. So, A, here's the answer. To understand what spirituality is, then first you need to understand what it's not. To understand what spirituality is, then you first need to understand what it's not. So, A, it is not avoiding someone's pet taboo. Now, brother, they will tell you, you can't be a very spiritual Christian and wear clothes like that. Now, brother, you can't be a very spiritual Christian and go to movies like that. Now, brother, you can't be a very spiritual Christian and smoke cigarettes. Drink beer? Drink wine? Man, they can come up with a list that if you try to follow that list, the only thing you'll be able to do for the rest of your life is sit in a corner and read the Bible. Is that what it takes to be a spiritual person? Shut the door, pull the drapes, turn the lights down dim, get the Bible out and sit there and read it all day? Is that what it is to be a spiritual person? You see, unfortunately, many well-meaning believers, they seek to manipulate their brothers in Christ by laying a guilt trip on them and saying, you're not a very spiritual person because you don't really tithe, do you? You're not a really spiritual person because you wear that kind of clothes or that kind of makeup or you like to go do this or do that. I even had a guy tell me one time, this is so ridiculous. I had a guy tell me one time, I am a Christian, I don't gamble. And I said, well, I mean, that's great. Congratulations. And we were talking about fishing tournaments, and I love to fish in tournaments. And he said, well, isn't that gambling? I said, fishing in a bass tournament? Well, yes, brother. Do you think Jesus would do that? And you see, this is that well-meaning Christian that's trying to lay a guilt trip on you. They'll tell you you cannot be spiritual and drink. You cannot be spiritual and smoke. You cannot be spiritual and gamble. You can't be spiritual and watch HBO. And that's the one. Oh, they get you now, see. Do you have a television?
Yeah, oh, I don't have any of that HBO on my TV. I don't have any of that Showtime on my TV. I don't have any of that cable. I don't have any of that Dish Network on my TV.
So you see, the extremist will tell you that you cannot be spiritual and do certain things. You can't be spiritual, and you could even hear it like this.
You can't be spiritual and go to that restaurant because they serve beer there, or they serve wine there, and that's the devil's place.
You see, spirituality is not a system of works. I'll repeat that for you. Spirituality is not a system of works. It's not you conjuring up some godly lifestyle of asceticism where you go into extreme self-denial. And then you think God is impressed because you don't do a certain thing. It's not you witnessing every day. I remember an old acronym, G-R-O-W. And this is what I was taught as a young Christian that it meant to be a spiritual Christian. G, go to God in prayer. R, read your Bible. O, obey God. W, witness for Christ. And if you would do those things every day, you would be a spiritual Christian. You see, the problem is that is what a spiritual Christian may do, but that is not how you become a spiritual Christian. Spirituality, reading the Bible every day. I meet people that say, I've read the Bible through 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I read the Bible every day. I read it through completely every 3 months. Does that make them spiritual? They'll tell you that they yield 100% of their life to God. Well, okay, what are you yielding? Yield, brother. You see, that's always an interesting one. Have you ever been to a church where they want to have a yielding service and want you to yield to God? Just don't ask what that means. Just yield. 1, 2, 3, yield. I yield. What am I supposed to yield? You ever been to a church where they have a rededicating service? You ever been to a spiritual retreat where they want you to rededicate your life to God, and you go up there and you say, I want to rededicate my life to God, and the guy says, praise the Lord, brother, let's rededicate together. And you say, well, how do I do it? Tell me the mechanics. What do I have to do to rededicate? And it's like, don't ask, just rededicate. I remember a fellow telling me he had rededicated so many times that his rededicator wore off. He's the same guy that went forward at every revival and rededicated his life to the Lord. Rededicating, praying at 5 o'clock every morning, getting up to have that quiet time every morning. Is that what it means to be a spiritual Christian? You see, it's not by looking holy. It's not by wearing all dark clothes or having a sober attitude. Some serious demeanor in your face or your life all day long and going around uttering some spiritual phrases like, God willing, brother, or Lord bless you, or have a blessed day. So what exactly is spirituality? If it's not doing something or avoiding doing something, what exactly is it? Is it having an upbeat, super excited personality? Is it you being in love with Jesus? Is that what it means to be a spiritual person? Here's what it is. I'm going to let you around a lot of bushes to get to this. Here's what spirituality is. It's you having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just like Christianity is you having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot be a spiritual Christian without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So let's start off with this. Where do you get the Holy Spirit? If I've got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to be a spiritual Christian, where do I get Him? Well, you got Him the minute you got saved. The minute you believed in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. At salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Not only does the Holy Spirit indwell you, but He seals you.
and He fills you. Did you know that? It all happens at the moment of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 16, verses 7 through 15, promised that if He went away, He would send the Holy Spirit back, and the Holy Spirit would be a mentor to guide us into truth. That's what's important for you to understand. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? There you go again. And 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and you are that temple. And if you allow unconfessed sin to remain in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, then we set ourselves up for an early departure or an early trip to heaven. The Bible is clear about that in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you put to death the deeds of the body by means of the Spirit, you shall live. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to us at salvation as per the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may learn to live a different way. And the Bible puts it this way in Ephesians 5:18, we are to be filled with the Spirit. And so when you are filled with the Spirit, you are spiritual. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, we are to walk by means of the Spirit. And so when you're walking by means of the Spirit, you're spiritual. And in Romans 13:14, we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. All three of these verses are imperative mandates in the Greek New Testament. You would call this the commander's intent if you were in the military. It is the intent of the commander, and the commander being our Heavenly Father, that we are filled with the Spirit. A present passive imperative in the Greek morphology of that word. Present tense, there never is a time when you're not to be filled. The passive voice, the subject, receives the action of the verb. And so this is not something that you can do, it's something you receive. And then it's the imperative mood, or the mood of command, or the commander's intent. I give you these Greek words and I explain this Greek terminology so you will see that every jot and every tittle in the Bible is important. Be filled is P-L-E-R-O-O, plero-o. P-L-E-R-O-O, be filled. That's a mandate. It's not a request. If you are not filled with the Spirit, you're sinning. Walk by means of the Spirit. The Greek word peripatao, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. The word walk in the English is peripatao in the Greek New Testament, a present active imperative. Again, if you are not walking by means of the Spirit, you're sinning. And so, when we are commanded in Romans 13:14 to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, another imperative mood. This is the decision that you must make in a point in time when you decide that you're no longer going to let your old sin nature control you. Spirituality occurs when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And there are no gray areas. There's no, I'm almost spiritual, I'm almost there spiritually. That's not it. Spirituality is an absolute. You are either filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're under control of your old sin nature. One of the two. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. If you're under control of your old sin nature, you're carnal. There is no in between. You're either spiritual or carnal. Spirituality is an absolute. It's not a matter of degrees. It's not that Joe is more spiritual than Bob. It's impossible. And the reason I said your pastor cannot be any more spiritual than you is that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit,
and it's the same Holy Spirit, then you're both spiritual. But he could be more mature than you. He could have more content of the Word of God in his soul than you do. So make a difference here between spirituality and maturity. Any Christian can be spiritual, and any Christian can be mature. But spirituality is based on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and maturity is based on the content of the Word of God in your soul that comes through spirituality or being filled with the Spirit. You can't ever reach spiritual maturity unless you're filled with the Spirit. So, in spite of the fact that you've learned, read through the Bible a bunch of times, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're just never going to reach spiritual maturity in your life. 100% spiritual or 100% carnal. You're either controlled by the Holy Spirit or controlled by the sin nature. There's no in between. There's no degrees. The Bible uses the analogy of light and darkness to explain it in 1 John 1:5-10. And there it talks about walking in the light, which is being a spiritual believer, or walking in the darkness, which is being a carnal believer. It's really up to you. You can walk in the light or walk in the darkness. Spirituality occurs when you're filled with the Holy Spirit at the point of confessing your known sins to God. That's when spirituality occurs, when you confess your known sin to God. Spirituality is absolute. Growth is relative. Growth is related to how much of the Word of God you learn and apply in your life, and spirituality is related to whether or not you use rebound, problem-solving device number one, or 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Is it necessary to recognize the filling of the Holy Spirit? Can you tell if you're a spiritual Christian? Well, the answer to, first of all, can you tell if you're a spiritual Christian? It's not an emotional feeling. It's not where you really, really, really feel close to God. It's you look at your life and you say, is there any unconfessed sin in my life? And if the answer is no, then you're a spiritual Christian. But I can hear you now. You say, well, how could anybody keep up with all of their sins? Well, obviously you can't. You must be doing a lot of them. But the Bible says, if we confess our sin to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Did you hear that? All. So let's say that you committed sin X, but you didn't confess it. And then you committed sin Y, and then committed sin Z, and then you go back and go to God and confess sin X and admit it. God not only cleanses you from sin X, but from sin Y and Z, the ones you don't even remember. The ones you don't even remember. But if you go name the ones the Holy Spirit makes clear to you, then you can be filled with the Spirit. A spiritual person is a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's only one way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It starts the minute you get saved, when the Holy Spirit indwells you and seals you and fills you, regenerates you. And then you sin as a Christian, you get out of fellowship with God, you get back under control of your old sin nature, and you come back and rebound or confess that sin to God, 1 John 1:9, and immediately you're filled with the Spirit, and you are spiritual. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're spiritual. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're carnal. It has nothing to do with what you're wearing. Has nothing to do with what you're saying. It has nothing to do with where you're going. It has everything to do with you following exactly correct procedure found in the Word of God. This is Rick Hughes, thanking you for listening to The Flatline. And I hope you'll join me next week as we continue this discussion on what is spirituality.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.